From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
I can't believe I ate the whole thing.
I'm Storm, and we're going to be talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average. Today is Wednesday, January 27th, 2010. It's show 073, and yes, again, by now you have figured out that Paul is not podcasting tonight. He's doing things. I'm just going to leave it at that. But I'm going to plow on. It's going to be an abbreviated podcast because frankly, until I was here with you, I was kind of in a crappy mood, so I didn't really prepare much. But we had a couple of suggestions on the Twitters, one of which I'm really going to run with because it's something I can talk about all day, which is food. And after that, there's going to be another reading of Emily and the Really Sexy Vampire, part 3. So if you're not into that, you can, you know, just stick around a little bit, and then when it's announced part 3, you can tune out. No problem. So the question that I'm going to take here, I want to read it precisely. I'm always so wangly about the questions that I'm going to get it right this time. This is from Brian Sebi, and he asks, at Paul and Storm, since you're a foodie, and I am, if you could travel anywhere in the world instantly, eat a meal, and teleport back, where would you go? That's a great question. And I thought about it for a good 10 minutes, and honestly, I could not say there is one restaurant above all others, or even one food that I could say, oh yeah, that's the one. And as I thought about it, I realized that the restaurants that popped into mind, or meals, didn't usually have as much to do with what I was actually eating, but remembering the meal itself. Which, of course, yeah, the food's a factor. If you go someplace and the food's no good, doesn't no matter what happens, you're not going to remember that as a great meal. But it's usually after a gig or anticipating a gig or something related to gigs, usually, that that you just have awesome meals. I think because there are people around who are either excited about what's going on or that you've met on Twitter or someplace and finally meet in person. So most of these restaurants reflect that. The first one that popped to mind was in San Francisco, where we just finished a trip, which was awesome. If you're listening to the podcast for the first time and you were at the San Francisco shows, that rocked. San Francisco in general, awesome food town. And if you've ever been there, of course, you know that. If you haven't been there and you are a foodie, you need to go there. In particular, a place we've, Paul and I have been a number of times, we may have talked about it before, is a dim sum place in Chinatown called Great Eastern. And I'm sure there are a ton of great dim sum places throughout San Francisco and the entire region, in fact. And we've been to a few. But for some reason, that one, just the vibe, you don't feel rushed there. There's a nice variety of dim sum. If you haven't had dim sum, it's basically Chinese tapas. And it's funny to phrase it that way because dim sum has been somewhat popular in this country for a lot longer than tapas have. Anyway, you get all these little bites, and they're all very many are meaty and savory. Some of them are kind of gummy. I know that sounds really good, doesn't it? But I do like the gummy. They have these turnip cakes that just have this. It's more about texture than taste. Anyway, another dim sum place we enjoy, which is in Minneapolis, is called Junbo, J-U-N-B-O. And again, we've met people there before, and it's just in this like parking lot, only a couple of miles from the Mall of America, not where you'd expect to be rocking the dim, as we say. Okay, we never say that. But anyway, it's not a place you would expect that. Sushi, just about anywhere, if you have a bunch of friends. Again, it seems to be the interactive foods that I gravitate towards. Because there's nothing like when you're sitting around waiting for the food and you're chatting and maybe you're drinking a little. And because the food's not there yet, you're a little buzzed. Or if you don't drink, you're anticipating it and you're maybe fainting from hunger. It just relaxes you in certain ways. I didn't write anything down, but Northampton, Massachusetts, a place called Teapot, which has both dim sum and regular Chinese food. And it's a place that that we go almost by default after shows at the Iron Horse in Northampton, though there's another place. It's a sushi place right up the hill from there. Sorry if this is boring. If you don't like food right now, you're going, man, I don't want to think about eating. I have to do that like every day and it sucks. But that's probably not likely. So I'm going to press on. A place that's sort of just kind of special for Paul and I, a place we've been going really since we started this whole crazy thing, is Mug and Bun. It is a drive-thru right near the Indianapolis Speedway, which has, I think both Paul and I agree, it is the best root beer in the country, or at least our favorite. Tends a little towards the molasses side and less towards the wintergreeny. But I, for one, think that too much wintergreen flavor in a root beer is jive. And, it can be in there. It's cool, but it's more of a birch beer thing. I'm just going to put that out there. I'm going to throw some controversy into the water now because it needs to happen and there's no one else here to do it. So here we go. Burgers. For me, undisputed, one place is Ray's Hale Burger in Arlington, Virginia. I've talked about it before. It's just this one-off place. It's just burgers, 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 all kinds of awesome toppings. The guy, I think he grows the meat himself. Vegetarians, I got something for you in a little bit. So you just go la, 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 la for a little bit while I talk about meat. But yeah, meat's his thing. He has a steak place called Raise the Steaks. No, the guy's name is not Ray. But it's just, it's not very expensive, but you get this monster burger that you will have physical cravings for. That's not the controversy. Controversy is in burger chains. Now, of course, we do not attend your typical burger chains. And I say attend and not patronize because, you know, a meal is for me and for Paul and probably most of you. It's more than just a perfunctory filling of the face and stomach. It's an event. So we don't attend your McDonald's, Burger King type places unless 1,000% necessary. Paul is an In-N-Out burger guy. I like In-N-Out burgers. I like them plenty good. In fact, I would even say I love them. But if there were an In-N-Out burger next door to a Five Guys, I know a bunch of you are groaning out there like, oh, no, man, no. Yes, Five Guys burgers for me, for a burger you can find in a good portion of the country now, I would never turn that down. And it's a very similar concept. If you're on the West Coast, I don't know if Five Guys has made it out there, if they've run the In-N-Out gauntlet yet. But it's same idea. All they have is burgers, cheeseburgers, drinks, and French fries. I mean, that's it. I guess that's even less than In-N-Out. I guess you can get a milkshake at... maybe you can get a milkshake at Five Guys. I'm not sure. Anyway, for me, the difference is the patty at the Five Guys. It's a little more substantive. It's a little bigger. I've been to franchises from both, and find that you know, the quality is consistent at both, but that the Five Guys burger is a little juicier. The bun has a little more chew to it, and I like the toppings they offer better, frankly. And they're all free, so you can pick whatever you like. And their hot sauce is quite tangy and savory. Not slagging on In-N-Out. I like it, but I'm going with Five Guys. If you are vegetarian or vegan, also I believe I've mentioned it before, 10-minute mark was, wow, just a blink ago. Vegetarian or vegan, there's a restaurant here near where I live in Falls Church. There's also one up in Vienna, Virginia, called Sunflower. And it's Asian, Chinese-ish style food, 100% vegetarian. I'm not sure if it's 100% vegan, frankly, but very delicious. And even if you are a carnivore or an omnivore, you will love it. It's the place that you take people who go, vegetarian, that's for people who don't eat meat. And you'll prove them wrong with that. All right. I think that's what I have to say about that. Next week, maybe give Paul an opportunity to rebut on the burgers. And all right, well, let's get to the second part. This is the part, if you don't like great literature, you're going to want to tune out, because it is now time for Emily and the Really Sexy Vampire. Oh, by the way, it's actually pre-recorded, so I kind of cheated. Part 3. Editor's Note. This section appeared on the sidewalk directly in front of the editor's house, paper clipped together in a juicy bag, along with a note requesting the return of the original Trapper Keeper. So, you remember True Dude, who is also called Nick? Well, he was still back at the Softy Cold all the while when Emily and Nightfin were sharing their magical times. And then three completely gothic kids came up to him. "Hey," they all said to each other. True Dude gave them all ice creams for free and caffeinated beverages, and it wasn't a big deal or anything. Clearly, they were certainly friends. "So, have you seen Nightfin?" asked this girl who looked like a total slut, though her boots were pretty factually awesome.
"I guess so. I don't know. No, definitely not."
"Yes, yes, I have," said True Dude, who was totally busted by the girl's slutty wiles.
"Tell us where he is," said this other boy, who was very diverse looking. And I guess there was an exotic-looking girl with him who was the third person, and they were probably going out together.
"No, I can't," said True Dude, who didn't want to get Nightfin in trouble.
But the slutty girl had these, like, goo-goo laser eyes or something, and she zapped his brain.
"Okay, come with me," he said. And they all went with him
to go find Nightfin, who was with Emily, if you'll remember, right? Nightfin paced back and forth, biting his brooding lips, his hair falling over his face like a long-haired cat with a mane. Emily could feel the pulse of his confusion and knew he must be smart and not just good-looking, because he was definitely thinking a lot.
"I have to tell you something, and it might certainly completely upset you," said the uncertainty-strewn Nightfin. But Emily could feel his heart light and knew.
"You're a vampire," she said. Then Nightfin went all stiff, and for a second Emily thought he'd knock her block off. But then he relaxed again and sexy.
"Yes," he said, breathing hard. "I'm totally of the vampirin. But we're not what you think we are."
Emily remembered what Mrs. Hately had said about all the vampires being dead, and how totally busted she was.
"I entirely knew it," she said.
But why does everyone think you were decimated out of existence?
A sexy shadow fell across Nightfin's face and blue eyes, and he breathed deep the gathering gloom. At this very moment, Emily felt almost holy to be so proximate to him.
Verily, it is true. We almost were decimated away, for good, said Nightfin, who gazed deep into Emily's eyes, like he was looking for something at the bottom of a big, empty paper bag in a room that didn't have much light.
Emily felt sad teardrops start to bunch up in her own gazy eyes.
Oh, no, said Emily.
You must not cry, Tasty Tears, swooned Nightfin, breaking his gaze and looking back because she was so unknowingly beautiful, then snapping his head off from her again.
I won't, said Emily, who was starting to feel pressure building up in her guts.
But she got her act together, and Nightfin did too, and he looked back into her, so it was cool.
So anyway, intoned Nightfin, we were hunted and stuff for a while, and some really bad things happened, and it sucked. But we vampirin have powers and things, so it worked out okay.
Wow, said Emily, who was amazed by the mysticism of him.
You see, we vampirin come from a different place that is not of this world, but is in this world, but entirely not.
Like an island?
Sort of, said Nightfin. But more like a barely perceptile space place of the mind.
So it's like another dimension, finished Emily. Nightfin's jaw dropped in surprise, but in a sexy way.
You totally understand, he said. I already knew you were smart and beautiful, but you seem to know so much about my people's ways with instinct power.
But I want to know more, said Emily, hungry for the thirst of knowledge. Tell me all about your ways and your intransient powers.
But before Nightfin could even start to fathom for her, this weird wind started to blow, and though it made Nightfin's mane head look very sexy and wise, it was a portend of no good.
Now did the wind blow, and hence did the air glow, and thence, as if strewn aloft, from the very wind that had been most unnaturally wrought, and in an eerie spectrum light, these kids showed up.
Oh-ho, what have we here? Said the diverse boy, who minorities would totally love.
I think Nighty Whitey Finny Winny blah blah blah, said the exotic-looking girl,
who now that you can see her better is some kind of Asian, probably Chinese or something, or Korean, because you'd never expect that.
I'm sorry, my good friend, said True Dude,
and the slutty girl pushed him into a tree just to show how mean she was.
Ouch, said True Dude, and he dropped his caffeinated beverage.
Well, 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 said the slutty girl, who walked up to Nightfin and Emily.
You could tell that she thought she was all fancy and sexy, but she was totally not, and she had on way too much perfume, and it was the slutty kind.
It looks like someone has deployed himself a new toy.
What is it to you, Sexica?
Said Nightfin to the tawdry girl, who was all like standing there in her boots thinking she was all that.
Well, we vampirin have very calibrated standards, and maybe we don't like her, said Sexica. Maybe she's stupid. Maybe she's ugly. Maybe she's short. Maybe she has a dumb voice. Maybe she can't dance good. Maybe her clothes are retarded. Maybe she likes Pokemon and dumb roller skates. Maybe her hair is lame. Maybe she snores. Maybe she's good at math. Maybe she isn't sexy at all.
And maybe she doesn't enjoy caffeinated beverages.
And like a lightning bolt, Sexica threw a can at Emily, and Emily totally caught it.
All of the vampires stared at her, especially Nightfin, to see what she would do.
Emily opened the can of caffeinated beverage and drank it, because it just wasn't a big deal or anything. And she drank them all the time, and it was normal for her, so it just wasn't a big deal. Sexica looked annoyed, but kind of impressed. But you could tell she was proudly, and maybe okay in her own slutty way.
"Well, that doesn't prove anything," she incanted, tossing her gothic head.
But all the other vampires could see that the ice was well past the broken point.
"Don't be such a mummy," said True Dude.
And all the other vampires went all like, "Ooh," like it was the biggest insult in the whole wide world. And it made Sexica really mad.
And her eyes started to glow red, and Emily turned her head away for the solace of Nightfin's truly blue eyes. But there were churning conflicts in the fathomy depths that she found there, and the whippy wind was going again. All the vampires looked kinetically sexy.
"Well, maybe she's not so blasé," said Sexica.
"Let's see what she's like without Nightfin's vamp aura." And there was a flash of light, and the wind was gone, and all of the vampires were staring at Emily. And her tummy started to ache, and she remembered all the ice cream she ate, and she looked at Nightfin, then True Dude, then Sexica, then back to Nightfin, then over to those other two, and then finally, at last, back to Nightfin. And she cut the cheese big time. All of the vampires started to laugh hard, except for Nightfin. But Emily didn't notice that. And Emily wanted to be anywhere except for this sad place in the woods, which stupid Sexica had just desiccated. And so Emily began to run. And Nightfin shouted, "Wait!" with romance. But it wasn't enough. And the vampire's laughing was too loud, and she ran, 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 and cried, cried, cried all the way home. End of part 3. So, hopefully you enjoyed that. I sure did. Let's see where we're going to be coming up. We are going to be in Texas, big Texas swing, February 4th, Dallas, Texas. February 5th, Austin. February 6th, Houston. Go to paulandstorm.com to get the details. Yeah, you do want to be there. You also do want to join the Paul and Storm Brigade of Minions, which I may have neglected to mention at the beginning, and it wasn't because I don't care, because I do. It's because I'm forgetful, and when Paul's not around, my brain tends to spit out pieces. Okay, so now you know that, and you know the other things. Therefore, through the transitive property or something, I'm Storm, and we've been talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes on average. Go do things.